We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pacer Nation, what is going on? Welcome back to another episode here of Setting the Pace, your go-to Pacers podcast. We are back for a mailbag podcast, but I had to clear some things up because there was some news that took place today, Monday afternoon, on this gorgeous 75-degree weather in Indianapolis and on March 4th. Like, what a great day to be an Indiana native. Like, this weather, fantastic. You know, I know that it was bad during the All-Star weekend, but hey, a couple of weeks later, we got some amazing weather. Felt good to be outside, driving outside with the windows down. One of those kind of days. You know what I mean, right? It's getting that time of year where you're getting excited for March Madness, and the playoff races are getting more interesting to watch as teams are battling for position and seeding. So it's a great time to be a basketball fan. But today, the Indiana Pacers, they filled that final two-way spot by bringing in Quentin Jackson, who was playing for the Chicago Bulls G League team, the Windy City Bulls, and he was doing a pretty good job this year, averaging 16 points roughly and 5.8 assists per game in 38 outings. So, you know, I think that it's a pretty good pickup for the Pacers. I have yet to see him really play in the G League. Maybe I've seen a highlight here or there, but I can't honestly say I've sat down and watched his game and I can tell you all the ins and outs about him. So not going to lie there to you, so no cap. I really don't know much about his game, but I do know that he worked out for the Pacers in 2022. So one of our questions today in the mailbag did ask about what the Pacers could do with that open roster spot, with that open two-way spot now, and it's been filled. So that question probably won't mean as much now since you do know the news of that. Me and Fachi will discuss that a little bit more in detail to give you guys some more information on Quentin Jackson and just who he is on the next podcast. We recap that Mavericks game, and it's got to be a win for the Pacers. They cannot allow a third loss here in a row. Going winless on this road trip would not be good. But Fachi and I, we're going to try to bring the spirits up a little bit. I know it's been pretty pessimistic for Pacer Nation recently, but we've got ourselves a mailbag podcast. We always love a good mailbag, and it's about that time where we get your guys' input and your questions. So I thought this was a great time to do it. So without further ado, I'm going to get out of the way. We're going to bring on Tyrese Haliburton, Chris Denary, and get right into the mailbag.
This is Tyrese Haliburton, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Indiana, home of Pacers basketball.
Miller for three, and he got it.
Legends have been born.
Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again.
Memories have been made.
Haliburton, a deep three for the lead.
Great basketball has been played.
Nembhard away. Hits a three in the buzzer to win the game.
In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Flips it to the big fella, fake shoots, and hit!
But this is Indiana.
Throws it down.
And you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Let's go! Go!
Your go-to Pacers podcast.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fachi. Alex and Fachi. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fachi. Alex and Fachi. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fachi. Alex and Fachi. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fachi. Alex and Fachi. Alex and Allison.
We got Pacers hooping. Let's talk stats. Hot takes. All facts. New topics. Updates. Three pointers. Fast breaks. We keep scoring. We don't need to stop. New episodes. Weekly drops. This your number one podcast. Sweeping there. Team, we gonna need a mop.
Setting like the pace with Alex and Fachi. Alex and Fachi. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fachi. Alex and Fachi. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fachi. Alex and Fachi. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with
It is Tuesday, everybody, and you are listening to your go-to Pacers podcast. This is Setting the Pace. I'm your host, Alex Gold. I'm joined today by Michael J. Facci. Facci, we are back, and it has been a minute since we have done one of these. Tell the people what we are doing today.
Oh, it's an old-fashioned mailbag.
Yes, sir, it is.
Always love to hear from our listeners, so I thought we got quite a few questions to go through today, and always appreciate all of you that are sending it in for maybe the first time, or consistently sending in mail. We definitely appreciate all of you.
Let me ask you this, Facci. When you think of a mailbag podcast or just the word mail, does the Blues Clues song always pop into your head like it does mine?
It does a decent amount of the time. I mean, if you grew up and you hear mail, I mean, look, that you go to Blues Clues. I think it really depends on what your age is. Maybe we're showing our age, while we're doing this episode, but definitely a staple of a childhood show growing up when you think of the word mail.
Yeah, it's always fun. Here's the mail, it never fails. That's what I love hearing, and that's what we're here to do today, because me and Facci, we never fail when it comes to mail, and it makes us want to wag our tail, so let's get to it.
All right, question number one. Faithful listeners, Chuck and Jamie, they say, which players on or off the roster would be your most likely slash reasonable pick to take this team to the next level next season?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I feel like the obvious answer has to be Benedict Mathurin for me. I mean, we've seen Mathurin kind of go through these slumps of being really good and then having bad moments. And he even can go on a bit of a roller coaster ride, Facci, throughout a game for you, where it's like the first quarter he'll come in playing great. Then the second and third quarter he'll look like he's barely out there. Then the fourth quarter he'll finish things out stronger or whatever. It's just an example there. But I feel like Mathurin continuing to evolve into the player everybody expects him to be is really big. Obviously, we know Tyrese needs to get better from this injury that he's struggled with. But, Siakam, I think he's kind of been who he's going to be. There's not much more developing for me with him. Same with Turner. But with everybody on this roster, that's the guy I'm looking at. In terms of somebody off this roster, I really don't know what they're going to be able to do financially to bring somebody here. Now, I think I'm just going to throw it out here, but like if Malik Monk became available in free agency and you were able to kind of get him as your six-man type of guy who he's been for Sacramento, right? He really has become the front runner for six man of the year in 2023-2024, had some really big games. Like if the Pacers can go out there and get them another guy like that to kind of help with the scoring load on the bench, if Mathurin does evolve into a starter, that could make some sense to me. But like, it's way too hard to predict somebody not on the roster. So I'm just going to ride with Mathurin. And once you respond, I'll give a wild card.
Yeah, look, I think the obvious ones are, you know what to expect out of Haliburton and Siakam. And then as it relates to Turner, I just feel that the last 2 years, Turner has kind of showed that this is kind of who he is or who he could be. It's hard for me to think of a next level for Turner. And then I feel like we saw guys that did take a leap, like Aaron Nesmith and Jalen Smith. So and Obi Toppin as well. In my opinion, Mathurin is kind of holds the keys to if this Pacers team is going to be a first round exit or be able to make a run. So I think there's Mathurin. And then I think if I could say one more, I would have to go Jairus Walker, because Jairus Walker right now is that guy. He's that wild card that it's like if he could be 85% of who the Pacers thought they drafted, he is going to be very special. And I think that right now we saw that playing time is going to be extremely hard for him to come by. I do hope that his time with the Mad Ants, I think it will be extremely beneficial that when this guy comes in next year to the NBA, I think he's going to make a lot of people turn their heads and, kind of blink twice to say, whoa, that's Jairus Walker. I forgot about him or what happened to him. I really do think that, look, that game against New Orleans was completely out of control. But you saw that Jairus was able to influence the game in many different ways from a rebounding and, passing and blocks and steals. And it's just there's a lot of great things to like about Jairus Walker, but it just won't be this year. But next year, who knows?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like with this question, they're asking who's going to – who's a likely reasonable pick to take this team to the next level next season. So that is hard to like say Jairus can do that for us to take us to the next year. Level.
So I'm sticking Mathurin. Sticking Mathurin. And I'm not going to name someone like a Malik Monk or someone that I don't know if the Pacers can go out and sign. I think that's it'd be a great pickup from what you mentioned, but we're kind of hoping that Mathurin could kind of be our Malik Monk, be our sixth man off the bench. be able to provide a big scoring boost. I think he has that capability. I think everybody else that we're seeing on this roster, you think he could be a good player, but Mathurin has that like potentially all-star level if he's able to reach his full potential. Not many other Pacers on this team have it.
Well, I think Mathurin's going to have to be better than Malik Monk level to like make this team go to the next level. He's going to have to be a starter and be a consistent defender night in and night out. But one X factor I was going to throw out there is just Andrew Nembhard, because I feel like Nembhard, he has done a really good job of being that secondary playmaker, has done a really good job of kind of being that really solid defender on the perimeter. But one thing that he's not been solid at is his shooting. Yeah. And I think he's got it in him to be a much more improved shooter. So if you could see Nembhard become closer to like a 37, 38% three-point shooter consistently, that's going to open up so much more. And if he can just kind of develop more as that point guard, because I understand that they want TJ McConnell in there to kind of be the heart and soul of the team to a certain degree with how he plays and things like that. Like we've heard Chad Buchanan call him the heart and soul of the team, even though I kind of push back on it a little bit. Still, he's an energizer guy. He's a guy that's really important. But like, if you can maybe play Nembhard with him a little bit in that second unit next year, if Mathurin does evolve into a starter and he can be more of a spacer, a guy that can still get his own at times, but really can spread the floor. Like I think that's huge for his game. And I think it's what's going to end up getting him paid a little bit more money than if he stays kind of who he is now. I think that the 3-point shooting for me for Nembhard is like the major piece that he's missing to his game to take himself to the next level. I really do believe in Nembhard as a player, but sometimes his inability to help spread the floor does kind of shrink that offense, and it makes defenses, you know, have an easier time guarding Indiana than they had a better shooter out there, which we talked about in the last episode, talking about the importance of Buddy Hield and losing him and how that was so impactful to this team.
It's definitely valid. I think that for Nembhard, you could see him as, you know, I don't know, I don't want to ever put a ceiling on anybody, but you see him as like a good, what could be a real good starter in this league. I think for Mathurin, he's shown those glimmers of that all-star potential. I think both of them are vital to the Pacers. I think that if the Pacers are going to be able to take that leap and go from, you know, first round appearance to a second round, or even maybe like say a conference finals, I think it has to be with Mathurin being special. And I think that that's what you look at as a guy that could give you, you know, potentially that 18 points per game, you know, or above, you know, 18 to 20 points per game, anything like that, that would make the Pacers have a big three, in my opinion. And at this point, you know, you really hope that he's able to reach that. I think overall for Andrew Nembhard, you know, he's been more consistent lately of being able to at least, you know, feels like almost hit at least a three-pointer per game, but the percentages have not been where you want them to. But I think at times he's taken some strides on that. I think from a three-point land, he's actually exactly where he was last year. For the most part, still hovering around that 35%, but he's just been more efficient from the field. But you mentioned it. If he can get that three-point ball falling, that's going to change his game. It really is. So I hope to see it. But what do you got for the next question?
Yeah, let's move on. Shay Sasson has two questions. So we'll start off here with the first one, Facha. He wants to know, do you feel like there's been improvement with Mathurin's defense?
I do. I think that Mathurin's improved as an on-the-ball defender. I think sometimes it's easy for him to get a little bit lost or maybe a little bit delayed, you know, being off the ball. But I think that he's taken some strides. I mean, we even heard him last week just fully at the podium, just, you know, hey, I sucked on defense tonight, or I was awful on defense, or whatever it was that he said. And that's great to see that accountability, because we know Rick holds him accountable, but it's great to just hear it from himself. But I do think that he has improved as a defender. Is he a good defender? No, he's got a long ways to go, but I think he's gotten better as a defender.
It's one thing to acknowledge that you were, you know, pretty poor defensively in a game. It's another thing to go out there and change it, right? And so with me, like I've definitely seen moments from Mathurin this year where I've been really impressed with the defense. And I think you have seen the strides that he has taken defensively. And that's huge, because he's in year two and it's not necessarily been his calling card. Like, I think when he came into the league, he was kind of labeled as a 3-and-D type of guy out of Arizona. But if you watch him for any time last year as a rookie, you realize, no, he's not a 3-and-D at all. This dude's a scorer. And the 3-and-D label is a very lazy analysis of who Benedict Mathurin actually is. And I mean, I even know we talked about him like that because of the analysis we were getting when we were talking to other people in terms of draft stuff and reading things. And that wasn't everybody that was saying that, but like to label him as a 3-and-D guy was unfair to who he is, really, because I think he's a three-level scorer that is pretty inconsistent defensively and pretty inconsistent with his outside shooting. So he's gotten better in the offensive side of things with his outside shooting this year. The defense is also taking strides. I think that you mentioned it, though. That off-ball defense has been the biggest problem with him, and we've talked about this a lot, but that ability to get skinny and fight through screens and just really have solid screen navigation has something he's been pretty bad at, and he gets kind of hung up and does lazy switches. He needs to learn how to communicate better, fight through screens tougher, and really dig in. And we've seen him do that at times this year. He's just yet to really do it consistently. So I'm feeling really good about Mathurin as an overall player. He does kind of give me a bit of a roller coaster ride because I wonder if he can be that guy that we all hope he can be. But I think that the defensive improvements that we've seen, the discipline he's had defensively at times this year, it gives you a glimpse of what he could become. You just want to see him once again string it together more consistently.
Yeah, I mean, look, who could forget the strip that he had on Giannis early in the season? I mean, that was like a game-clinching play. And then even another night, you know, just against the Spurs, I mean, he dove on the floor for a loose ball. That was great to see. So I do think that he has held himself more accountable this year. He's taken some strides. Still has a long way to go, but I would definitely give him the credit as he has gotten better defensively. But there was two parts to that question.
Yes. But I do want to say this real quick, Fachi, before we move on. You know, if a guy like Ben Shepherd can come in his rookie season and show like, okay, with a little bit of hard work and effort, defense is possible to be played, even if you are a rookie, it makes me think that if Mathurin can just focus in more on the mental side of things, I don't even think it's the physical part of it. I think it's the mental side of just really knowing the defensive scheme and, you know your personnel, know what you're good at, know your strengths and your weaknesses, and really just do what you're asked to do and not get caught up ball watching and things like that. That's going to help with him overall just get better. But like you said, there is a part two to this question, and this was a more of an interesting question. It says, if Rick Carlisle retired right now, who on this coaching staff would you want to take over as head coach?
I'd go Lloyd Pierce. He's got head coaching experience with the Hawks. I think that he could be a head coach again in the NBA at some point. Not this year, but the Pacers can continue to win. Who knows? Look, the Pacers have other coaches that have had head coaching experience, like Jim Boylan, but it feels a little bit different. It just feels that Boylan's run with the Bulls. Like, I don't see him being another head coach in the NBA again. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. But Lloyd Pierce, in my mind, I feel could be a head coach again in the NBA. And we're very fortunate to have him, because if you remember the Nate Bjorken staff, I mean, you really couldn't get any assistant coaches that had head coaching, you know, capabilities in the NBA.
Yeah, I think LP is the right choice here. I know a couple of years ago we talked about Ronald Norad when he was on the roster.
I liked him, but
yeah,
it's different now.
Yep. Some things happened there. I'm not sure what all went down, but seems like there were some complications there. He ended up hopping over to Atlanta's coaching staff, and he's kind of hopped a little bit in terms of coaching staffs quite a bit in his NBA career. And I think he's just trying to find that opportunity that's going to allow him to become a head coach. And it's kind of going to be hard when you're under Rick Carlisle's staff and Lloyd Pierce is sitting there as the assistant head coach. Like, LP is a really good coach. And when Rick Carlisle has got ejected in games, it's been interesting to see how Lloyd has kind of stepped in and done some things maybe a little bit differently. And it doesn't mean they're getting away from the scheme. It's more of a feel thing, but like to throw Ben Shepherd in that game against the Nuggets in the fourth quarter, and the two energy plays that he had, like we talked about this a few episodes ago, like that could have been the turning point for Ben Shepherd cracking the rotation a little bit more. And if Rick Carlisle was out there in that game coaching instead of Lloyd Pierce, does he still get that opportunity? We don't know. It's hard to say. But I think that Lloyd Pierce has a respect of the locker room. I know that he works, you know, personally with different guys. Miles Turner is one of the guys that he always works out pregame with, and they have a great relationship together. And I just feel like he's probably learned a lot from that experience in Philadelphia. And then being under Carlisle for these last couple of years, it would just make sense to kind of elevate him into that spot. And, you know, I don't think anybody wants Carlisle to go, especially on the roster. I think a lot of guys respect him because Miles Turner even said it last year in August when we interviewed him. Like, he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. Like, he doesn't BS with you. He just kind of tells you straightforward how it is. And I think guys need that. There's times I can tell when Mathurin gets a little frustrated because he feels like he's always on a tighter leash. But overall, I've been pretty impressed, Focci, with the coaching job Carlisle has done. And I think Lloyd Pierce has been a really good assistant coach. But all the coaching staff has done a great job contributing this season. And really, they do a great job developing these players because, my goodness, we've seen a lot of growth this season.
Now we really have. And, yeah, major shout-out to the coaching staff. I mean, you could just be able to appreciate a well-rounded group when you knew a couple of years ago, like I mentioned, under Bjorkgren, how it just – there was so much just – turnover and just you didn't know who was going to be there for more than a year or not. And I feel that the Pacers have had some they've had some consistency. It hasn't been 100% the same group, but it's been a good group. And I like this. I like what they have in place.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Next question. We have Keenan said, rank the following players from most to least likely to sign a new contract or extension with the Pacers in the next two seasons. Here's the group in no specific order. Obi Toppin, Jalen Smith, Isaiah Jackson, and TJ McConnell.
Okay, so instead of us doing our four, all at once, let's do it together.
Sure.
So let's work our way up to number one. And we'll do our number four first. So who do you think is the least likely to sign a new contract with the Pacers out of this group?
I'm saying Obi Toppin. Okay. So here's my theory on this. Look, right when you traded for Pascal Siakam and you look to sign him to a max extension, and you already have Jairus Walker out there waiting for playing time, Obi, he's coming off a career year. He deserves to cash in and get paid. I just don't think that's going to be an option for the Pacers. They have some other tough decisions to make. So, look, Obi, go out there, get your money. But unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be with Indiana.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Obi Toppin at four because of the points you brought up. And that is a bit of a bummer because I just feel like if the front office brings Obi Toppin back, how does that impact Jairus Walker's playing time? And I think that's the big thing. They've got to realize, okay, even if they want to see Jairus play more three and play them together at the 3-4 to have a lot of size, I feel like there's a good chance that if Jairus goes through a sophomore season where he's very inconsistent, like a lot of sophomore players are, you might not see him get the consistent reps. And I wouldn't say the coaching staff, or excuse me, the front office is upset with the coaching staff for not playing Jairus more minutes. But I do think that one way to kind of force their hand to make them play him more would be to let Obi Toppin walk in free agency. Yeah. So I agree. I have him at number four. For me, at number three, this is a very tough one. But I kind of feel like it's got to be Isaiah Jackson.
Okay. So, hey, I think we got some differing opinions over here. You know, for me, I went with someone else. I don't know if you want me to say it yet or not. Yeah. Okay. I went with TJ McConnell. And here's the thing. It's like, I know we're recording this after McConnell just absolutely torched the Spurs for 26 points. McConnell still has 1 year left on his contract. And he's been awesome. And Indiana doesn't have a meaningful draft pick in this upcoming draft. So it's not like, hey, you know, they could easily replace him right now. But I just feel that coming into the season, he wasn't expected to have a role. At this point, if McConnell is to somehow get a contract extension, I mean, it's almost just like you can't kill this man. Like, he just keeps coming back every time he's counted out. And it would surprise me for the Pacers to be able to re-sign McConnell, knowing that you might not have the role for him that he desires. And this guy is too good to not be playing a decent amount of minutes in the NBA. I think there'd be a lot of teams that would be able to have interest and also be able to give him the role that he wants.
Couple things here. I will say the reason I'm saying Isaiah Jackson is because obviously there's a player on this list that I have above him that plays that same position that I think is going to be a higher priority. So if you have Miles Turner and you have Jalen Smith, where does that put Isaiah Jackson? That puts him at the third string center. And we have yet to see this front office agree to a new contract extension with someone they've drafted. I can't remember the last, I think it was like Miles Turner. Right? Was he the last first-round pick to get a second contract?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of shows you how they've gone about their drafting and how it's not been great. Obviously, everybody expects Mathurin and probably Jairus Walker, Ben Shepherd to kind of get those contracts. But everyone thought that about Chris Duarte after year one, too. So we'll have to kind of see how it plays out. I think Isaiah Jackson might be in a weird spot because I could definitely see them re-signing him to have him as a third-string center insurance and whatnot. But also, like, I think Isaiah Jackson's also in the same boat as McConnell in terms of, like, too good not to play, too good to bury on the bench. And it's a little bit – I'm sure he's a little bit frustrated with his role. And I know he was earlier in the season because he was clearly out of the rotation. So they even made a spot for him to continue in the rotation by putting Jalen at the four because he was playing so well. Then they just trade for Siakam, and they're like, all right, sorry, you're out of the rotation again. So – that's the only reason why I think that he might request not to be re-signed and be able to test restricted free agency. So that's why I see that. But for my number two, which was your number three, was TJ McConnell. It's really tough to see this team without him. I feel like they value what he brings into that locker room and off the court just as much as what he brings on the court. And it would make more sense to me that it'd be cheaper to keep him long-term as the backup point guard. Maybe not long-term, but at least for the next couple of years, than to try to agree to a new contract with Andrew Nembhard. I don't know what Nembhard's market's going to look like when he becomes a free agent, but I think there's a very good chance that he'll be looking for a lot of money and the Pacers won't have it to give to him.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Anything could happen. You know, we'll see. I think that if the Pacers, if McConnell was heading towards free agency this year, you know, maybe they might say, hey, you know what, we're not ready yet. But the fact that he does still have one more year makes me feel like, hey, you know what? A lot could happen between now and the end of next year. So we'll see on that. But number three on my list was Isaiah Jackson. Isaiah had his fourth-year option picked up earlier this year, so he'll be a restricted free agent after the end of next season. When given a chance, I feel that he has absolutely shown that he has improved. He's had some really good moments. Problem is, you know, with a healthy Turner and a healthy Jalen Smith, there's just not enough minutes for him. There's really no minutes for him. So I think if Jalen Smith ends up opting out and signing elsewhere, all of a sudden Isaiah Jackson becomes very appealing for the Pacers to re-sign, knowing that Turner only has one more year on his deal. I think for Isaiah, that's got to be extremely encouraging. So that's why I got him at number three, but not fourth on my list.
Yeah, so we're doing this inverse order. So Jackson's your number two, right? Number three.
Well, it depends how you look at it. So in terms of least likely, I had Obi, McConnell, Isaiah.
Yeah. You said Isaiah was your third. I'm just making sure, right?
Okay. Well, yeah, he'd second. Be third either way. Yeah, sure. Yes.
And then your second number one.
Likely. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And our most likely number one is Jalen Smith. And absolutely. It's really interesting because he's had such a good year, but the last couple of weeks have been bad. Not been bad. They've just been underwhelming compared to where he was at earlier. And, you know, there's been times – you know, Isaiah Jackson has had better games than Jalen Smith. I mean, I still think I trust Jalen and what he brings more to the table than Isaiah Jackson. But at the same time, it's a tough call. They definitely have a lot more invested in Isaiah Jackson because he was a draft pick of theirs instead of something they traded for. And they do have team control over him. And one point we haven't, I think you just brought it up, was Miles Turner's contract situation is a little bit of a question mark moving forward. So you might want to have insurance at that center position if Miles does you know, decide to opt out of that extension contract negotiation with the Pacers. They fail to come to an agreement, kind of like how Indiana did with Buddy Hield. So that is something to monitor as well. So that is a good point of why he should be hired. But Jalen Smith, to me, I'm sure you can echo these sentiments too. Just that floor spacing, the shot blocking ability, the feel for the game, the rebounding. Like, yeah, he's just really improved as a player. And I think that when he's clicking and he's shooting the ball well, it is a totally different dynamic for this second unit than what Isaiah Jackson brings because of his inability to really step out and hit the three-point shot.
Yep, a lot of great points. You know, bottom line, the way I see it, Jalen Smith opting into he's going into the final year of his contract, $5.4 million player option. I think he opts out. He's very well deserving of a new deal. He's taken his body and his game to the next level. He's gotten his value back up. Like I mentioned, Turner just 1 year left on his deal. We've gone through this numerous times. I don't think anyone has ever been 100% sure and confident that the Pacers are going to look to re-sign Miles. Even last time came as a little bit of a shocker, but it was absolutely the right move to do. This time around, you look at this, Jalen Smith, I think that his market could be right around maybe $8 to $10 million per year. And I still think that that is really good value for the Pacers when you don't know what the status is for Miles Turner, that if it happened to work out that way and the Pacers do a 3-year, $30 million deal with Jalen Smith, I don't think that is this drastic overpay when you don't have a center locked down, a starting center locked down for years to come. So that's why I think we're both in agreement that it feels that he is one of the priorities for the Pacers outside of Pascal Siakam. And then when it comes down to your Obi Toppins, in my opinion, it's always, well, I think Jalen Smith is a little bit more of a priority than Obi Toppin this offseason. So I think we're both in agreement with that.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it was Scott Agnes who reported this or said it on the radio interview that he did, but it was like Jalen Smith was untouchable in those conversations for Pascal Siakam. So it kind of shows you how much of value him. I did kind of poke the bear a little bit when I asked Chad if they thought he could be a starter. And he said, we want him here long term and we think he could become one. So it was me trying to kind of get him to say that without saying, you know, do you have a replacement for Miles? You know, I had to reword my question a little bit, but kind of curious how they felt about him in terms of like long-term projecting what he could become. And I don't know if I'm there with him maybe becoming a starter yet, but
I'm not there yet. I'm not. Yeah.
He's too inconsistent, but you know, I like what he's done. So let's move on. Question number four, Fonchi. This comes from Dan. He said, do you see any of the two-way guys getting a full-time contract? Could one of the three be cut and replaced this season? With whom? What do we do with that final roster spot?
It's going to be the easiest question we've had in a long time, just due to the timing. Earlier today, since this question was submitted, Kendall Brown has had his two-way contract converted to a standard contract, signed a 3-year extension with the Pacers. So I think that answers that situation. When Chad came on the show, he talked about how they could go in many different ways for that final roster spot. But the one thing everybody agreed upon was it was really hard to try and find someone on the buyout market or just an available free agent that could truly contribute to this Pacers team. Kendall Brown, do we see him contributing this year? No. Honestly, had not been able to contribute earlier this season, but it's great for the Pacers to be able to reward one of their own, something that we saw them do in the past with, you know, Gabe York and a Terry Taylor and things like that. So I think that it shows a lot from within to say, hey, you work really hard with the Mad Ants, you could be rewarded. So shout out to Kendall Brown.
Now, Kendall Brown is someone we were both pretty interested in the draft process. I was very disappointed with him in summer league with just his on-ball abilities. But he is a 6'9" wing, and that's something you do value in this league is just, okay, can he develop into anything? And so, you know, I think it is a nice move just considering the Pacers need some optionality moving forward with the roster building and what he's brought to this team. But one other thing that it does, Fauci, it does open up another two-way spot. So I kind of wonder maybe will a Kyle Mangus from the Mad Ants, who has done pretty well this year, 16.3 points per game, has played pretty well, could he end up getting the nod to become that, you know, third two-way guy with Isaiah Wong and Oscar Tshiebwe? Because that could make some sense to me too if they want to reward one of their Mad Ants players by giving them a two-way opportunity. So that is also something to keep an eye on, because if you got the open roster spot, that makes sense. Reward someone that's already been on the team, and then allow somebody that's maybe not in terms of like they're not as high on the totem pole, give them an opportunity with a two-way deal, something like that. I mean, we've seen Gabe York from the Mad Ants also kind of get moved up before in the past. There's been other guys, I'm sure I'm missing other players that have also been rewarded that opportunity. But
yeah,
I
Terry think Taylor before.
Yeah, Terry Taylor is one of those guys too, but I think he was already on a two-way deal. So I'm talking about guys that were just brought up from the Mad Ants that weren't on two-ways. So, you know, either way, I think it's a cool, and we did not mention this on Monday's podcast, so I'm glad we're bringing it up today on Tuesday. So we're recording this Sunday night, and we kind of just overlooked the Kendall Brown signing after that loss to the Spurs. But great question, and I think a lot of people were curious, like, what's happening? And March 1st was the last day you could sign somebody and then be on your playoff roster. So I don't know how that works for Kendall, since he was a two-way guy, so maybe he might be able to be playoff eligible. That's a good question.
I think it's kind of like the loophole in the system if it's one of your own players.
Yeah.
I believe so. I think we would all be surprised if Kendall Brown logged any time in the playoffs. But at the same point, I still think it's a good move to be able to just show for the Pacers track record of, hey, look at the players that we've had that have been on two-way contracts that we've rewarded. So I think that's a great sign to see. And overall, just going through his stats with the Mad Ants, 17 points per game on about 50% shooting. Not a good three-point shooter. That's definitely been a struggle. Don't know if he'll be able to develop into one. 4 rebounds per game, 2.6 assists, close to about a steal per game and half a block per game. So, you know, maybe not blowing anyone away with numbers, but this is someone that was hurt last year, didn't get the same development. I think he has taken some strides forward. So that's been great to see. But he's got that NBA frame that many teams covet that you touched on before at 6'7". Great to see. And I'm excited about his continued development.
Yeah, I think I caught him 6'9", but maybe it's just because his fro is 2 inches and it always throws.
Gotta be the hair.
Yeah. So anyway, I apologize. Got the wrong height there, ladies and gentlemen. I'll take the error on that one. But let's move on to our last question, Pachi.
All right, last question. Ed Carson, who said, how much is the injury still affecting Tyrese and his buddy being traded? Part of the recent struggles also.
All right, so I sent these questions before the Spurs game over to Pachi for us to talk about. And then because of the way the Pacers played and the way Tyrese performed, we did touch on this quite a bit in that episode. So yes, it is definitely bothering him. And I think the Pacers, Caitlin Cooper was pointing this out a little bit, how they're using Tyrese a little bit differently now with Nembhard being on ball a little bit more to get some extra spacing, because that's what Buddy did when Ty had the ball. So their chemistry together was special, and it's because they're both such prolific shooters and the floor spacing that it allowed the amount of space to create. Now with Nembhard out there, with Siakam out there, with Nesmith out there, like, they're capable three-point shooters, but they're not nearly the same level of respected three-point shooters as we've seen before. So that is a big part of it. And then in terms of the injury, I think we have to, like, assume that it's still bothering him. You know, I've heard Tyrese even say, like, after some of the games, like, yeah, it still feels pretty sore, or, you know, it'll be sore for a little bit and he can be able to play through it. So I wonder if hamstrings are just one of those things that it takes a good amount of time off to just fully recover from it. And maybe he's at like 95% and still not 100% there, but he still has had some bursts. Like, there was a reverse dunk that he had, I believe that was against the Pistons. I can't remember which game it was, but he's had some moments there where it looks like he's in a groove, playing a little bit better. So, you know, it's just ups and downs, really good defenses trying to make things, you know, tough for him. I saw an Atlanta Hawks fan saying, well, this is why you don't anoint Tyrese Haliburton as a superstar already, because look at how he's playing now. And I'm sure they're feeling a lot of that from the Trae Young comparisons too, because Trae got a lot of superstar love early before he kind of hit his wall. But, you know, I think Tyrese is going to be fine. The injury stuff is a big deal. And if he can recover from that and just get back to who he is, because we've seen Tyrese Haliburton this season showcase to the world that he can be a top 10 player in this league.
Magical
so
stuff.
I honestly don't worry about Tyrese's competitive edge. Like, the amount of frustration that we saw from Tyrese in this game against San Antonio on Sunday night, Flashy, when they would pan over to him after a missed shot or whatever, it was just visible frustration. And once he snaps out of it, watch out, because he's going to go on a tirade.
He will. He'll have some killer game. I miss Tyrese, you know, being able to put up you know, 30 points per game or 15 assists, you know, just having some of those big outbursts. They will happen again. He is struggling right now. No one's going to deny that. Anyone who's saying that he's not struggling is just being a blinded Tyrese defender. I think right now I shared some of the stats in the last episode, but just to go through them quickly, you know, from a pre to post injury, his points per game is down just over 10 points per game. That is huge. His assists per game has dropped off from 12.7 to about 8.5. That's massive. I mean, that's 4 assists per game difference. Then you're talking about the rebounds are about half of what they were before, 4.3 to 2.7 from just overall from a field goal percentage standpoint. He was shooting about 50% before. Now it's down to, you know, just under 44%. And then from 3-point land, a man who's shooting 40%, you know, it's down to about 34%. So big, big difference, big slide. I think that he that burst, it's just a little bit not where it was before. And in the NBA, this is the best talent in the world. If you're even half a step, you know, slower than what you used to be before, that's a big difference. So the last part of it, Buddy being traded. Yeah, I mean, think about it. You traded Buddy, and in return, no one's filled that spot. I think at times, Ben Shepherd's had some moments. Doug McDermott has not been who you hoped he would be by any stretch. And I think that right now, one of the Pacers' best and biggest strengths, their depth, took a major hit on that day of the trade deadline. And you can't replace Buddy in the blink of an eye, but I think the Pacers will be able to address that in the offseason. Short term, definitely unfortunate, but I think there's various reasons due to the Pacers' struggles. That, the Buddy trade, Tyrese's injury, those are definitely two of the many reasons due to the struggles.
Absolutely, Fletch. I don't think there's anything else really to add to this question. I think it was a good question, a good observation. And I know Kaylin's done some really good in-depth video stuff too, if you guys want to check that out on her Patreon. Obviously, we love having Kaylin on our podcast to try to get her on within the next couple of weeks this month because we always enjoy her insight. And hopefully we can get some better understanding of what this team looks like moving forward in the next couple of weeks as they get ready for this final playoff stretch in terms of standing-wise and where they're going to get. But we have a handful of questions still that we have not got to yet, Fach, but we're going to save those for our, I believe it is, Thursday morning podcast. So hope you guys will stay tuned. If you did not hear your question read, we will get to those on Thursday morning and maybe even carry them over into a weekend podcast just to kind of give you guys some extra coverage of this team. Because it's hard to answer all these questions and give you a good answer if we're trying to rush through like 16 of them in one episode. So wanted to kind of slowly break them down and get you guys some good thoughts here. But Fachi, go ahead and tell everybody where they can find us at on social media.
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter at PacersPod, STP. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I can be found on Twitter at underscore FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at PacersPod, STP. You can find us on Facebook at Setting the Pace. You can find us on TikTok at Setting the Pace. And Alex, tell them where they can check us out on YouTube.
Yeah, you guys can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/Setting the Pace, a Pacers podcast. Please subscribe. Let us know what you guys think about the show in the comments section below. Even if we lose and the games are not as fun, we still want to hear your thoughts on how this team can get better. A lot of our game recaps are on there, so not everything else will be on there, but they will be on our audio platforms, which you can find on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcast, and leave us a 5-star rating and review. But Fachi, if you're hoping the Pacers can bounce back with a victory tonight over the Dallas Mavericks, please hit me with those three words.
Let's go, Pacers!